First, I must say to you that it's a bit hard for me to speak of anything inspiring when our readings involve a mother-in-law. Seeing that mine never much cared for me. Oh, wait, as I think about it, I can recall some of the first readings and apply it to the memory of how I felt when my mother-in-law moved in with us for what would be 7 years. As Job says, so I have been assigned months of misery. I shall not see happiness again. Okay, let's get serious. Today's readings hint at that very common and most common question that I get asked for those who are curious or challenging our faith, or when I am visiting a classroom of middle schoolers. And that question is in full view today from our readings. Why does a good God allow suffering? More particularly, why does a good God allow undeserved suffering, suffering of the innocent? We must admit that much suffering we see in our life and in this world is actually self-induced from the hasty decisions that we make. More than a few who enjoyed the gala last night are probably suffering a bit this morning from being overserved. Then we have the suffering that we endure by the nature of our own free will. We choose to build homes next to volcanoes and forests and beachfronts because they're so beautiful, and then we lament when they're destroyed by nature. But let's take those types of suffering away. And what about suffering that we have no explanation for in light of our beliefs in a good God? When the answer from most priests would probably be, you may suffer now, but your reward will be in heaven. And that offers us no consolation, and it doesn't even address that question that we have, but then why do I have to suffer now? A wise cardinal from his hospital bed, perhaps facing that such suffering for the first time in his life, warned us priests. He said, we know how to make beautiful speeches on suffering. I myself have spoken about it with enthusiasm. Tell the priests to say nothing about it. We don't know what suffering is. I weep to think of it. The book of Job is the Bible's and therefore God's answer to such indiscriminate suffering. And yet we don't hear much in our Sundays from the book of Job. In fact, we only hear it twice in a year. Perhaps the church is wise and has listened to the cardinal's advice. If we take the advice of the cardinal, whose personal experience of suffering left him enlightened, and he told the priest to say nothing about it. When someone asks, though, what do we have to offer? So what do we have to offer to those who are suffering? Well, we don't have anything to offer, but Jesus does. Jesus can offer healing. We may not be able to offer a satisfactory answer to the question of innocent suffering, but we can offer something better. We can offer them healing. Jesus is the way to healing of any and all of our sufferings. After all, what's more important, explanations or remedies? When it was evening after sunset, they brought him all who were ill and possessed by demons. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. Jesus doesn't call us to explanations. He calls us to faith. He doesn't require any qualifications for his healing. He doesn't decide if you're worthy by a registration form or an entrance exam. He just asks you to come to him in your suffering, confident that you will be healed. In our gospel, we hear of Jesus' early mission, and we hear of his many healings. This was followed by Jesus, as we heard, rising very early before dawn. he went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Maybe Jesus was showing us how it should be done. That confidence, that trust, that faith comes from prayer. Prayer that is the umbilical cord to God. And after we are healed, it offers us a place of humility when we can go to a deserted place and offer prayers of gratitude for our healing. How do we measure healing? How do we respond to being healed? How do we even know when we're healed? We take a lesson from the healing that occurred in Peter's home. When the fever left her, she waited on them. We are called not to be served, but to serve. And when we are healed in gratitude, we are moved to serve. So we can gauge our healing by an impulse away of our own self-interest and towards others. When we refocus our lives, our thoughts, our actions towards others, we know we are healed. In fact, serving others may actually be the source of healing. Let me say that again. Serving others may actually be the source of your healing. When we are faced with suffering, our own or even more that of others, we must remain silent and raise our eyes to Christ, the one who heals, the one who knows suffering, accepted suffering freely but painfully, and yet despite that forgave his tormentors. Jesus' answer to innocent suffering is a great mystery for sure. But if you search your hearts in faith, in the answer to all your questions about and doubts about suffering will lead you to the same answer every time. When we are suffering or suffering with someone, and there seems to be no cause, no reason, nothing we can do to fix it, we are to be silent. We are to turn our gaze to Jesus, and we are to pray these words: Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have pity on me.